Now, on this InvestTalk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
I'm hoping you can explain the hit on metals of mining.
Quick question on ticker symbol AG, First Majestic.
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer. I was curious if this is eligible to be used to do a backdoor Roth.
And provides unbiased answers.
Well, that's pretty easy. Open up a Roth account, start moving the assets over there. Just know that every asset that you move over to the Roth is added to your income.
InvestTalk, across America and around the world. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART. This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is Thursday, May 5th, 2022. I'm Steve Peasley, and of course, I look forward to doing this show, the podcast, and the radio show every day. Well, Justin and I trade off. But I'll be back tomorrow, Friday. I usually always do Fridays. I like doing Fridays because it's the end of the week. But we certainly have had a couple of very, very volatile days, haven't we? Up big yesterday, down bigger today. So the market is, you know, investors and traders haven't decided what they feel about the Federal Reserve raising rates 0.5%. The federal funds rate 0.5% yesterday announced, you know, when they announced it. And the first blush, apparently they thought, oh, this is not too bad. They're going to be flexible. And, you know, they may, you know, everybody expected 0.5%. We knew that. Everybody knew that. But then overnight they decided, you know what, the Fed's going to keep raising rates and maybe more than we think is wise. So why they changed their mind, investors and traders, I don't know. And we don't know. But that's okay. You're listening to InvestTalk. I have no hidden agendas here. I'm not trying to push anything on you. This is a call-in question show. You can call in and ask anything financial. We'll talk about it. Okay? Your questions drive the direction of the show. That's what we like. So it's my goal to help you understand what's going on. You know, understand, answer the questions about whatever it is financial that you want to discuss. And if I don't know the answer, I will definitely say I don't know the answer. Or if I think I know the answer, I'll tell you I believe it is this. I try to be as honest and straightforward as I can. Okay? We've been doing this show for a number of decades now. Well, over two. And you know, we are very dedicated into trying to provide factual information to listeners, okay? And you know that today's investing world is very different than just a few years ago. I mean, we have the Fed raising rates as opposed to the Fed lowering rates, and interest rates have been falling for, what, three decades? Take a look. Take a look at the mortgage rates, how high they were. And then in 1980s, we're talking about 44 decades. So interest rates have been falling. I think we're done. So that means the whole landscape is going to be changing. And when interest rates start to rise, even if they creep up, what assets benefit, what suffer? Which ones suffer? And maybe we can, I've been in through both, so I know what happens. And I've been through some pretty heavy inflation, way much heavier than it is right now, back in, what, the 70s and the early 80s? Yeah, much worse than it is now. And different things work in different situations. Our economy is still very strong. Don't think it's weak. It's not. It's very strong. And that's what the Fed said yesterday. That's why they feel they can raise rates. Of course, I think they're late to the party. They should have been raising rates last year, at least started it on it, but they didn't. They usually are late. Market is volatile, everybody, but volatility doesn't mean always bad. I mean, we're having some bad down volatility now, but even then, there's going to be opportunities presenting itself to you. Maybe we can talk about those. But I do start every show with our mission statement, independent thinking and shared success. And that means I'm going to be very upfront and forthright about our market reporting, our process explanations, our educational segments, and of course, our stock market commentary, our stock commentary. And we do it all without bias. We don't owe anybody any allegiance. That's not going to happen. So I encourage you to contact me with your financial investment questions. You can get you drive the shape of the show, and that's up to you. Okay, we are live, 888-99-CHART. We're live streaming from 4 to 5 Pacific time. We're live on the radio, live podcasting. You know, of course, we record it for podcasting. So whatever you want, we're here to answer your question. 888-99-CHART is our number. So let's get to the first. Let's get to the first caller, Sid in North Carolina. Hi, Sid.
Hi, Steve. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. It's been great. So, and I'm long-time listeners. Learned so many things. Even though now my coordinates are changed, but my mindsets are not going to change. Learning a lot of things from you and Justin. So, thank you.
Thank you.
I want to talk about INMD.
Okay. That's IMMO Limited.
I own small position.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a good long-term. And it has been down significantly. If we can add in this market or in these conditions, probably in the long run, it would be a good growth stock. But I want to hear your opinion. And do you think any issue with that?
Okay, yeah, it is a growth stock. This is IMMO Limited out of Israel. Israel seller of radio frequency devices used in minimally and non-invasive cosmetic procedures. And in the women's health sector, medical systems equipment sector. They made money for many years now. Every year, they've been able to increase their earnings per share. This year, it's going to be $2.08. Next year, it's going to be $2.36, from $2.08 to $2.36. Last year, it was $2.05. The year before, it was $1.06. The year before that, 89 cents. So it has been on a long upward trajectory. It's a $24.92 stock. $24.92. It was what, 90 something, almost $100 a share, and last year, and today is at 24. So the question is it now attractive enough to buy? If you the sales growth as most recent quarter 31%, quarter before that 47, before that 58. Before that, 184%. I mean, its sales growth has been pretty spectacular, okay? And the earnings are tracking it. So it has a good track record, and it's now pretty reasonable. Now, the low P.E. range is 7, and the high is 49 in the last 5 years, 7 to 49. So 7 times $2.36 gives you about, what, $16 stock? That should be at the low. So I wouldn't be in a rush to get it at this point because it's still in a downward trend. But I think it's coming up on some strong support here in the $20 range. So I think it's getting close. I still would just hold off a little bit, Sid. Appreciate the call. INMD. INMD. Okay, we also have a recorded caller question, and we're going to go ahead and take that now. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't see him. Let's go to Taylor. He's live. Hey, Taylor. How you doing? Oh, there he is.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Steve, I was calling today on Nucor, November Unicorn Echo. I've owned it for a while. It's about 4.5% of my portfolio. It's taken a bit of a hit at the last, and it peaked about a month ago. Of course, lots of things have taken a hit in the last month. So I just want to know, is this getting dragged down with the overall market? Is it a buying opportunity setting up? Or is there something else going on here and it's time to start unloading?
I would probably take some profits. Nucor, everybody, N-U-E, Nucor Corporation, manufactures steel and steel products for the automotive and construction machinery and appliance industries. It's very cyclical, right? We know that it's very cyclical, attached to the economic cycle. And we know the Fed is starting to raise rates. We know that at second rate. And they know they're going to continue to raise rates. And they're trying to attack inflation by slowing the economy. That's their whole purpose here, raising rates and cutting their balance sheets, to take some liquidity out of the system and slow the economy. And that's going to hurt a very cyclical stock like Nucor. Now, I don't necessarily tell you to get out of it, but you might want to cut it way back, cut it in half, because I think earnings in the next year are going to be much less. They're going to be $24.69 is the estimate for this year, but the next year, the year after, that's 2023, they're looking at $11.67. So everybody's anticipating a slowdown in the economy. That's why the stock is kind of selling off a little bit. But before it sells off too much, I'd probably go ahead and cut it. You can buy it back when it gets to about 110 to 120 in that range. Okay, appreciate the call. Thanks, Taylor. We have good news for InvestTalk listeners that enjoy hearing unbiased answers to caller questions at a faster pace. We have just posted an all-new April Rapid Fire Hour a couple weeks ago with about 30 caller questions. It's available now as a free podcast download. Please tell your friends and family about the InvestTalk Rapid Fire podcasts. And now the InvestTalk phone lines are open. Call 888-99-CHART.
Why do listener questions make InvestTalk better?
Which of these would you recommend?
Because each caller presents fresh questions in their voice.
I was curious if you still think aluminum has a ways to go from here.
When do I know the right time to take profits?
Should I be looking for an exit? Should I be holding here?
And listeners instinctively realize that InvestTalk uniquely offers a welcome dose of investing satisfaction.
I think you have a terrific show, and I've learned a whole lot.
Hey, guys, love your show. I've been listening for several years now, and I've learned a lot.
Justin Klein and Steve Peasley understand what investors need and want.
I would look at it from a tax perspective. If there's no tax implications, move on, find better ways to use that money.
I'm going with the odds. I think a half position now would at least get you in it and get you watching it so you won't lose track of it.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Every time I host the InvestTalk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your InvestTalk questions on the 24/7 anytime listener line at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Carl in Oceanside. Hi, Carl.
Yes, somebody told me about that QYLD, that is covered call ETF. And he said to put the money in that ETF would be better than have money in the bank. It pays 11% dividend. I'm wondering, is this quarterly or annually?
Huh. Okay, you surprised me. I thought you were going to ask me about QYLD, but you want to know if the dividend is quarterly, annually, or some of them even monthly. You know, so it's one thing that doesn't appear on my screen as to when they pay their dividends. So let's see if I can find it as fast as I can, and this is going to be a problem. Let's see. Option checklist, no pattern, no market. No. I can't find it right off the top of my head, but what I'll do during the break, Carl, I'll see if I can find it and report it on the air. So if you keep listening, maybe I can get it. The rate of dividend is 11.7%. This is an exchange-traded fund. 11.7. 11.7.
Yes, 11,
Now, mind you, it's more volatile, so don't think it's just going to be at the same price and just pay 11.7, because it has been high as $23 a share in recent months, and now it's $19.35. So, you know, if you had it for 3 months ago and then still had it today and it paid that dividend, you still will be losing money. Now, the ex-dividend date was 4/18, which tells me that, and I don't have a new ex-dividend date, so it's not monthly. I'm pretty sure it's going to be quarterly, but I don't know that for sure. Okay, but I'll check. I'll get back to you.
Thanks,
Carl. Thanks for the call. The symbol that is QYLD, everybody. QYLD. Well, the market was down. Dow was down 1,063 points today. The Nasdaq down 647, and the S&P down 153. Kind of more down today than it was up yesterday. So the hope was for a follow-through day, and we didn't get it. So the market is on, still in its corrective mode. It's a bear market in anything tech. Tech indexes, small cap, they're all in bear market. But the S&P and the Dow are not. Feels like they should be, only because we've been struggling with this for now, you know, 4 months, and we're in the fifth month. And going into the summer months are usually negative or are less positive than the first 3 months and the last 3 months of the year. And the first 3 months of this year were pretty tough, to say it that way. Okay, we're moving into a break, but I am here and happy to take your financial investment questions. This is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, my focus point today is based on the headline, what do rising interest rates mean for diversification? For investor, a rising interest rates environment may increase correlations between stocks and bonds. What am I talking about? That means rising interest rates makes bond values go down. If you own a bond paying 3%, the interest rate now is 5%, people will buy the new bond at 5% and discount yours. It's only paying 3%. When interest rates go up, bond values go down. When interest rates go up, stock prices struggle and go down too. And the higher the interest rate, the more correlation there is between stocks and bonds. Okay, but you have to understand how both of these entities work, especially bonds. I think most people understand how bonds work. They go up in price, they go down in price. But bonds can go up and down in price too. But if you buy the bond at par and hold it until par, you get all your money back no matter what the price of that bond is in between the time, between initial purchase date, initiating of that bond to the maturity date of that bond. In between, it can fluctuate. So what's the correlation? Okay, between stocks and bonds. When interest rates generally fall, stocks have an easier time going up. So this is why. Why do interest rates go up? Just in general, why do they go up? Why don't they just stay the same? Because lending institutions, the Fed, everybody who deals with bonds are fearful of something. And usually the interest rates go up when they fear that the economy is too strong or inflation's out of control, and they want us, and the Federal Reserve starts to slow down by raising the Fed funds rates, which influence all the other rates. So bankers worry about that as well, right? Because the Federal Reserve is reacting. So bankers think, oh, I need to get more interest rate on the money I loan because, you know, either inflation is running, you know, unchecked, or you know, there's fear that the economy is going to go down because the Fed is raising rates, trying to slow the economy, and therefore I may have trouble getting my money back if I loan it out at a lower rate, so I need a higher rate of return. Get that? So if Fed is raising rates, they're trying to slow the economy. The fear for stocks is that, oh, you're raising interest rates? Well, those companies that borrow money are going to cost them more. That's going to reduce their earnings. And if you're raising interest rates to slow the economy, earnings generally are going to go down. So my stock prices aren't, you know, maybe my stock prices are too high. Maybe I need to sell some of my stocks and to produce cash. See? So that's why there's a correlation. Now, you still have to understand what moves both bonds and stocks. Earnings move stocks, bonds values go fluctuate, but remember, if you buy them at par, 10,000, they'll mature at par, 10,000. But during the, if you bought a 5-year bond during that period of time, they can fluctuate in value. So you just got to learn how these things work to understand the correlation between them. Okay, so don't think just because you own bonds, well, I'm now more, much safer. Well, technically you are, but you still can have volatility. Still can. So that's the focus point today, everybody. I have others. I have other focus points. GM CEO says she can surpass Tesla in producing electric vehicles. Why does she say that? Oil is likely to stay high above $100 this year, $100 a barrel. Okay. And what does history say happens to stock markets after a 0.5% increase in the Fed fund rate? You'd be surprised. Let's go to Jeffrey first, though, from El Paso. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if I could get your thoughts on VMware, ticker Victor Mike Whiskey. It's a tech stock.
Okay. Tech stocks are really getting beat up, as you probably have seen, right? I mean, but let's take a look at VMware. VMW. Provides virtualization software enabling organizations to run multiple operating systems. They make money, always made money. They're going to increase next year to $7.74. This year is a little bit down, $7.02 from last year, $7.25. It's a $104 stock. Sales growth is in the high single digits at quarter after quarter, and it's been that way for some time. I don't think that's going to change. So let's see. Is $7.74 next year worth $104 stock? Is that worth it? No dividend, so you're just basing it on growth, and growth is slowing. I'm thinking that the stock is right near its value, about $100, $105. So I don't think it has a lot of upside potential. So I'd be very, very careful. I don't think I'd enter a position at this point. If you listen to Invest Talk on a regular basis, you probably know that Justin and I are independent investment advisors who act as fiduciaries. But if you are new to investing, you may not understand what that means. So as we go to break, here is my two-part trivia question. Can you define what a fiduciary is in simple terms? And how long has the term been around? After break, I'll supply the answer. But for now, my phone lines are open, and I encourage your investment questions, 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume, because there are many questions that deserve.
Do you recognize this sound? It's a sound that can mean profits in your pocket. It's the sound of another smooth Shopify transaction. And now you ask, what is Shopify? Quite simply, Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform that you can use to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs the resources once exclusively reserved for big business. You can customize Shopify for your particular business needs. Shopify provides a great-looking online store that brings your ideas to life with easy access to the tools to manage your day-to-day operations and drive sales. Know this, Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. That's more than a catchy phrase. It's reality. With Shopify, you can get started by building and customizing your online store without the need for coding or design experience. Shopify has thousands of integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. Shopify instantly lets you accept all major payment methods. Plus, with 24/7 support, you're never alone. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. Are you ready to take your dream to the next level? Go to shopify.com/invest, all lowercase, and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/invest right now. Shopify.com/invest.
Unbiased answers. And Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. I asked a trivia question before the break about fiduciaries. A fiduciary, what is it? So can you define what a fiduciary is in simple terms? And how long has the term been around? So let me start by giving you the most common description. The term fiduciary is defined as one who holds a fiduciary relationship or acts in a fiduciary capacity. I love it when they try to explain something to you using the term they're trying to explain. Makes no sense to me, right? Doesn't really help you. Now, maybe this term started, by the way, in around the 1600s, fiduciary. Okay, I thought it was actually a long time before that. I thought it might have been a Greek derivative, and it's not. It's a Latin derivative. And anyways, so a better definition, someone to whom property or power is entrusted for the benefit of another. I want to explain that. Okay, so the most reputable financial advisors are fiduciaries. Why? Fiduciaries are professionals who are sworn to act in your interest while managing your assets or money. In other words, rather than making recommendations in their own self-interest, like selling you high commission things, okay, pushing products that pay them a lot of money, a fiduciary financial advisor is obligated to make recommendations that benefit you, only you, okay, not them who are selling it. The advantages of working with fiduciary are numerous, of course, and a Northwestern Mutual study uncovered that American adults who work with fiduciary advisors reported substantially greater financial security, confidence, and clarity than those who are not. Just so you know. We're going to go to John in San Jose, listening to us on KDOW. Hi, John.
Good afternoon. I love your show. Longtime listener. You're right on the money, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I bought a gamble a little bit, bought 1,000 shares of STS about 3 minutes before the market closed yesterday.
Good
I'm up
for
over
you.
15%, yeah. Up over 15% right now. So should I hold it or?
I'd pocket that money in a heartbeat myself. 15% in a day. Come on now.
Oh, 15%.
I know, 15% in one day. That's great.
Yeah.
Great job.
Yeah.
And what that is, everybody, SDS, it's called ProShares Ultra Short S&P 500. So that's an ETF seeking performance corresponding to 200% of the inverse of the S&P 500. So if it goes down 10 points, the S&P 500 goes down points, this inverse fund would go up 20 points. So he bought at the very end of a positive day yesterday, and the market tanked today, so he made 15% in one day. Now, I'm thinking the market might bounce a little bit going into the weekend. But you know what? It could also get just weaker and weaker and weaker. But, man, when I make that kind of trade in a day, I just go ahead and take it, not sweat over it. I just
that's
don't.
Why I call, because I'm basically a day trader. But what happened, I've learned through years, you have to go completely opposite human nature. When a stock goes up, people say, buy it, buy it. And that's the worst thing. In other words, when it goes up, that's when you want to sell it, right? Buy low, sell high.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
So you're on an inverse, you bought low and you sell high, inversely.
What do you project in the next like 60, 90 days? I think there's going to be a big crash, a big one.
I think the market's probably going to have a very difficult summer. I don't know. I could see it easily moving the S&P 500 and the Dow moving into bear market territory that they're not in yet. The NASDAQ is, and small caps are, but not the big guys. But I can see that happening in the summer months, yes. I don't know about a crash, because the economy is so strong. But the Fed is pretty bent on slowing that economy, and they tend to get it wrong. So I'm not confident, John. I'm not confident at all. Okay? Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I try not to use the word crash because that's a pretty bold call. I think it just work its way down, though. If the market, okay, just for everybody out there, especially your newbies out there, the new guys, if the market crashes in just a few days, that is a buy signal, not a sell signal, as John just pointed out. But when you're looking at a market that crashes or give a really strong sell signal, you're looking at, you want capitulation by investors. You want to see the market go down on high, high volume. Everybody just panicking out. We haven't had that. Last 2 days, they've been elevated volume, but not super high volume. This is a little higher volume. Today, it was a little lower volume. So, no, we haven't seen the end, in my opinion. Okay, GM CEO, she says GM's going to surpass Tesla in producing electric vehicles. How is she going to do that? What makes her think she can? Tesla's got a pretty darn big lead. And her focus is going to be on cheaper cars, cheaper EV cars. Tesla's cheapest model is $46,990 MSRP, manufacturer's retail price. $46,990. GM says their cheapest car right now is the Chevy Bolt at $31,500. She says they can make them as low as $30,000. So that's how they're going to take over market share from Tesla by offering a cheaper car. We'll see, won't we? I'm not convinced of that. There's going to be such tough competition for EV vehicles by all the manufacturers. We'll see who wins. There's going to be multiple winners here. We'll just see how the market share. Market share means how much of a 100% pie, what manufacturers has what piece of that pie, 30%, 20%, 10%, that's market share. How much market share do you have? What's your share of that pie? And right now, that pie is dominated by Tesla. Okay? So, that's what she's talking about. Let's swing back to another InvestTalk Voice Bank question. That was a listener from Washington State.
Hello. Thank you guys for the great show. My name is Preet. I'm calling from the state of Washington. Calling in regards for stock ticker AMRC. I have a half position in it. It seems a little expensive right now at about 40 plus times earnings. But I do like this space. I would love to get your guys' opinion on it. Thank you again for the great show. Bye.
Okay, this is Marisco Inc. They're out of Massachusetts. Provides upgrading services for energy infrastructure, construction, operates small-scale renewable energy plants. Okay? It's a $59.88 stock. They're going to make $2.08 next year. This year, they're making $1.87. Last year, $1.51. So they've been pretty consistent in earnings growth. Sales growth has been pretty steady and high, 88% growth in sales in the most recent quarter, 32% in the quarter before that. The quarter before that was a shrinkage of 3%. I'm not sure why. So the growth is there, but it's not as steady or accelerating as you would like to see it. It just kind of quarter to quarter jumps up and down, but the down part is very, very low, muted, let's say. So what is $2.08 worth? Okay, well, in this case, it's going to be worth between $20 and, let's say take that, I'd say $60, and it's right now $59.88. So I think it's a bit pricey. I think it's on the high end of their range. So I would be very cautious about entering at this point. I think I can go down to $40 easy, and I would feel much more comfortable in that area, 40, 41, 42, instead of 59. So just be patient. And I've been saying that a lot lately, everybody. Be patient. We're moving into some of the toughest months of the market year. Just, you don't, there's no big rush to put your money to work. There isn't. Okay. Well, the second quarter is moving right along. We're in the May 5th. What is that? Almost halfway, another week or two, and we'll be halfway through the second quarter. The year is already one third past. I mean, we're moving, though. The year is moving fast. So I think it's worth the time, take a minute or two, to talk about us, Justin Klein and I, and KPP Financial. We're in Irvine, California. That's in Orange County between LA and San Diego. And I'll remind you that here on Invest Talk and at KPP Financial, we operate with a philosophy of independent thinking and shared success. And how we implement that is, as we've said every day, we provide unbiased guidance, but we also practice what we call parallel investing, meaning we buy and sell the same stocks for ourselves as we do our clients at the same time, same price, same percentage in each of our different programs. We have five programs, going from very risky to not so risky at all. But even the not so risky, just so you know, it's in the bond market. That non-risky, so there's volatility, but we buy the bonds and hold them to maturity. So we know we're going to get them back to par. So, you know, it's not very risky. If you look at buying the bonds, just hold on to them to mature, you'll be fine. Rising interest rates environment, though, means bond values will go down. A lower interest rate environment means bond values go up. But anyways, we'd love to take 10 minutes to talk to you. We'll take a look at your portfolio if you want us to. We'll not try to push anything on you. We'll help you with your portfolio if you need that help. And if we can be your money managers, registered investment advisor firm, we'd love to do that. But we don't have to. We will help you. We promise. I promise. Okay. Next up, we'll get to another caller question. Hang in there.
Why do listener questions make InvestTalk better?
Which of these would you recommend?
Because each caller presents fresh questions in their voice.
When do I know the right time to take profits?
And listeners instinctively realize that InvestTalk uniquely offers a welcome dose of investing satisfaction.
I think you have a terrific show, and I've learned a whole lot.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. I want to talk about the NASDAQ. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, Steve. So the volume today, the volume was lower than the volume yesterday. And today, as you know, the market tanked big time. So what is it telling you if the volume is less on a down day versus the volume being more on an up day?
It means that no one's panicking out of the market. That's what it's telling you. And if
so that's a good sign, right?
Well, yes and no. If the market continues down with no one panicking, at some point there's going to be panic, and then you'll have a really high volume spike. But it also could mean, well, no one's panicking out, so the market's probably going to calm down. So you got both those scenarios going on at the same time, and you do not know, no one knows which one's going to be the winner. Now, I think the odds are the market's going to continue down. Okay, the market doesn't have to have a panic sell-off to tell us, okay, all the weak, we call them weak hands, all the weak holders of stocks are out. We want them to be out. Once they're out, then the market will bottom and start moving up. But I don't think we're there yet. I just don't.
Okay.
So it's hard to, and it's an excellent question, by the way, Bobby. And this is the language, trying to understand the language of the market. You know, it's telling you something, right? It's telling us something. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know. It's either telling me this or that. And I can't tell which one is. The reason why I think it's telling us that it's still going to go down is because in the background, you have the Fed going to keep raising rates, even though the economy is still very strong. But the Fed is trying to slow the economy. And there's an old saying, don't fight the Fed. The Fed will always win. So if they want to slow the economy, they can make the economy slow. They can, and they probably will. Okay? So
okay,
be careful. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate the question. That was a very good question. Very good. What is the market trying to tell us? It's telling us something. Remember, earnings are pretty good for corporations. We got 11.5 million job openings out there. They're not being filled. We got jobs numbers coming out tomorrow, by the way, for the month of April, the official jobs report. So what is the market telling us? Is it telling us, well, geez, we're going to go down? Well, it's got a lot of headwinds. It's got that war in Russia and Ukraine in front of us. It's got a weakness in China, you know, where they're shutting down certain cities. Is that still in there? And we got inflation that seems to be pretty elevated and not under control, even though I think we're getting close to the top if we're not there. But only because the Fed's trying to step on it. But the Feds could step on it pretty hard and cause a big problem. You know, it could cause a recession. Good. Craig from Seattle, if you'll hang on, this is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Pease, and we have one goal here, to help you achieve financial freedom, and our work will continue, so get your questions in. 888-99-CHART.
Each day, InvestTalk listeners submit their finance and investment questions via phone or email. Would you like your question to be put near the top of the list? Just take a minute or two to leave a review and rating for InvestTalk at iTunes. And be sure to include a brief question with your iTunes review comments.
We're going to go ahead and talk to Craig in Seattle. He wants to talk about Geopark. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Actually, I've got some small positions in GPRK and SM, and just looking for your take on those.
Okay, GPRK, Geopark Limited, is a Chilean company in Chile, engaged in onshore oil and gas exploration and production in Chile, Colombia, Brazil, Peru, and Argentina. This stock is a pretty low-value stock. Earnings are going to be $4.58 next year. $4.95 next year, so it's going to go down. But it's a $16 stock. So that's a pretty cheap company. So why is it so cheap? Sales are doing well. They're growing. Well, the $100 barrel oil, you know, this company is going to do very, very well. All oil companies are. So why is it cheap? For two reasons. One, it's in Chile, so you have the political risk of what's going on. And all its work, all its production is coming out of Chile, Colombia, Brazil, Peru, and Argentina, all South American. So you have some political risk there, which worries market participants. And it's a small cap company. It's small. It's not quite $1 billion, getting close. But is the risk worth the possible reward? And my answer would be probably. Probably.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of like this one. But you know you're just taking a little extra risk because where it is and it's small. Okay?
Sure.
Greg, I can't take two, but I'll be called back and I'll take the other one later. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate the call.
You got it. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Oil is likely to stay above $100, by the way, per barrel this year, the whole year. I'm pretty sure. I'm fairly confident it's going to stay there. So do you know what Buffett put on, which stock he bought a lot of shares in the first quarter of this year? Chevron. That's his fourth largest holding now, and he started buying it not that long ago. Occidental Petroleum is another large oil company he started buying a few years ago. So, you know, what do you think of – I've been suggesting for – all the way to last year, maybe even before, you know, you need to have big oil somewhere in your portfolio. There is a place for that. Okay? And I still think there is. I still think there is a place for that. If you can buy it on any kind of weakness, I would suggest you do it. You know, oil was so depressed when everybody was so high on clean energy and we don't want that dirty energy anymore. And so it was very depressed as far as values on these companies and oil prices per se. But as soon as the supply shrinks a bit, which happened with Russia, all of a sudden everybody's trying to scramble on to pump more oil out of the ground. And oil prices are really high. We are going to need oil for many, many years. The EV revolution is going to continue. Not a problem. I see it's continuing. I think it's a good thing. I don't have a problem with that at all. But the issue is oil is still going to be in high demand. We have not seen world peak demand yet, and we probably won't see it for another 10 years. Now, we may have seen peak demand in the United States. That I'm pretty sure of. But I'm talking about worldwide. So just think about that, everybody. Think about that. And, I've been pretty negative this hour on the market, but what do you think the market history tells us? What happens after the first 0.5% move by the Fed up? When they raise rates by 0.5%, what happens to the market after that? 12 months after that, is the market down or up? What do you think? The market's up on average 7.3% 1 year after the Fed raises the rate 0.5%, going all the way back to 1978. So don't be too negative. I don't want you to think I'm too negative. I'm not fully invested, but I'm pretty heavily invested still. I think you should be. Now, the types of investment might be important, right? I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. Get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And please be sure to review and rate us on iTunes. Your positive rating raises our profile, and we do appreciate that. But you don't have to be positive, but we would like you to be positive. But we would like the rating. We really would. Thank you. Independent thinking and shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listening line at 888-99-CHART.